Hey guys, welcome to Beyond the Quo. I'm Stacey Lucas, your host, and I have a very fun episode this week. So one of the things I've been circling is this concept of a lot of us don't pursue the things we want to pursue, not because of a lack of resources, but because of a lack of resourcefulness. And I'll say that again. It's not because we have a lack of resources, but it's because we lack resourcefulness. And you would say, well, Stacey, I don't have a trust fund or I don't have, funding, whatever, to do the thing that you want to do. And I want to kind of work through some of the alibis that are really excuses for not pursuing the things that we want to pursue. And when I say alibi, guys, I don't mean in the sense of like you committed like a crime and then you need an alibi. But these are kind of quieter, more thoughtful ways that we shift and squirm our way out of doing the things that we want to do. I'm going to list these out as we go through them because I wanted to pick like the top, I would say, 5 to 8 ones, because talking to hundreds of people over the last couple of years, doing executive coaching, working with clients all over the world, some at the highest levels of their career, but also going through like tough times personally, it's the same basket of eggs. Like nobody has different excuses. They're just dressed up a little differently. Now, are some of those legitimate and heartbreaking and tragic? Sure. But are some of them just comfortable and keeping us in the status quo? Definitely. And if I'm honest, I see this with myself also, right? And I think that for a lot of us, we don't have a capacity or a capability problem, but we have a integrity problem. And I talk about this a lot, having integrity with ourselves. We're the first ones we break promises to. And so however we dress that up, when we don't have integrity with ourselves and we can't trust ourselves to keep promises to ourselves, when we're kind of keeping promises to everybody else, whether it's our stakeholders, our board, our team, our company, or whoever, our stakeholders. Before you roll your eyes or run to another podcast, I feel like it should make us uncomfortable, right? Because the alibis I'm talking about, the ones that we repeat time and again, they're not obvious and they don't actually sound like excuses. They actually sound really smart. They sound responsible. They sound justified. And that's why they work. And sometimes if we're not careful, and one of the framings around this podcast is, if we're living the same day for the next 20 years, then what kind of life is that, right? So like I said, an alibi is not in the criminal sense, right? We're not doing something bad, but we are paying a consequence or a price for leveraging that alibi. In other words, we are not moving forward. We are waiting for something to happen. And remember when I started, I talked about having resources and mastering resourcefulness. And I think that most of us are not stuck because we don't know what to do. I think we're really good at explaining the reasons why we can't do what we want to do. And again, I don't want you to get this confused with laziness or whatever, right? I'm talking about as high-functioning, capable, responsible humans who are carrying a lot, doing a lot, we're not moving in the areas that matter the most. And that is where the three things I talk about on this podcast, I can thread that for hundreds of episodes and they will still matter. And the three things I talk about are, how do we redefine success in our own terms? How do we live more authentically for the season of life that we're in? And how do we lead more courageously? And for me, leading courageously, I've come to realize, is not only leading others, or we think about leading in a formal capacity, like with formal authority, but it is really leading ourselves first in terms of what we want to do, then leading our family or close circles, and then kind of the ripple effect of that, right? I like to call it the cascade effect, right? So I'll start with me, because I never ask you to do something, or I never ask you to consider something without looking at myself in the mirror. And one of my favorite alibis always has been, I'm busy or I don't have time. And whether it was fitness or travel or things that, for me personally, it's things that actually bring me a lot of joy, but I feel like it's a luxury. Yet I will find time. Like even last night, I was working on something for my company and I was up till 10 p.m. and I no sweat because it had to be done and I felt responsible and all of those things. But when it comes to some other things, I pull out that trusty alibi and I say it with a straight face. Say it with a straight face, right? Because like you, my life is full, my calendar is full, my responsibilities are real. And so while it feels true, if I'm honest, it's not that I don't have time. It's that I haven't made that thing, whatever that is, a priority. And that feels uncomfortable. Notice how I had to clear my throat because, yeah, it feels uncomfortable. And maybe it's because the decision I have to make pertaining to whatever makes me feel uncertain. Or maybe it's because it makes me feel exposed, or maybe it's something new, or maybe it requires me to be more of the new version of me that I'm trying to be as I go into kind of my later years. But suddenly that excuse is so handy, right? Because my schedule's packed, I've got things to do, I've got people depending on me, I've got emails to answer, I've got problems to solve, and I stay in motion. And you stay in motion, but are we progressing to the next phase, to the next stage in a way that is deliberative and thoughtful and elegant? And our decision, or are we just like, I want to say 90% of the population, more if you ask some of the like really high powered coaches in the world, I think it's like 95% of people live at the whim of their calendar or at the whim of other people. And we don't like to think about that. We don't like to think that that's true of us. But I will tell you, if you really spend 30 days minutely checking your calendar and minutely checking the way that you spend your time, which is our most valuable commodity, we can't get that back. You will find that where your time is bleeding, where your priorities are focused, are not on the things that matter and that will give you momentum. And I put myself in that basket too. I think I'm better because I am a founder, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a CEO, I am a mom, I'm an executive coach. I work with some of the most elite people in the world. And so I have to be sharp, but I'm also human. And I think that the humanness of us has to be front and center at all times, because we, part of this journey, this thing called life, is the ebb and flow of I have it today and I don't have it tomorrow. And how quick can I get back on the rails when things fall off? And so I'm going to talk about a few main alibis, and I'm going to laugh because once you see them in your own life, you can't unsee them. And I want to challenge all of us. I'm going to challenge myself also. You know, I just went to South Carolina. Our niece got married in Beaufort across the pond there. And I have never been to South Carolina for kind of a couple days. So it was lovely and leisurely, but very quiet, very relaxed, a real Southern vibe. The food was amazing. I think they call it low country. So there's a lot of water, a lot of scenic drives. And I had time to think about a lot of things. It was, I want to call this my second quarter reset. And the one that stayed with me the most was the I don't have time. And I want to go deeper, right? Because this one is dangerous, especially for us as leaders, because we are busy and we are needed and we are caring a lot. But the truth is, if we always have time for what feels urgent or safe, because there's a predictability to that. The thing that doesn't feel that way keeps getting pushed. And so it's not about time. It really is about prioritization and knowing that you're going to be uncomfortable and stuffing yourself through the discomfort anyway. And that just put a really gross visual in my head. But yeah, stuff yourself through the discomfort of it. Now, the second big alibi that a lot of us use, and I want to speak to the woman executive and the woman leaders predominantly for this one, because there's this statistic and, you know, I don't know, go find it yourself. But it says that in order for women to apply for a job, a level up job, and I'm paraphrasing horribly, but whatever, we want to make sure that we are 100%, 150% qualified before we even attempt to apply for the position. We want all of our ducks in a row. We want every T crossed, everything. We need to figure it out first before we even make the leap. And that bleeds into many other decisions in our life, small and big. And men, paradoxically, whatever, you know, on the other side of the coin, could be 60% qualified. And they're like, yep, I got it. This is mine. They will throw their hat in the ring. Right? And so I need to figure it out first is a second mega alibi that we want to really deflate. Because this one sounds smart. This one sounds strategic, right? Like, why would I go out there and risk failure and all of those things? I need to be responsible. And I would say that most of the time, and I'm speaking to myself also, this is perfectionism in disguise, right? This is wanting to have it right before we move out the gate. And we tell ourselves a couple of things. Once I understand everything, once I have a plan, once I have the funding, once I feel ready, then I'll move. Then I'll make the move. Then I'll do the thing. Then I'll take the job. Then I'll move out of this relationship. Then I will create that boundary, right? And what I've learned in my own life and from, again, working with hundreds of people over the past couple of years is clarity does not come before movement. It comes from movement. As we are going through the motion, as we are going through the journey, the path becomes clearer and clearer. And are you going to stub your toe? Yes. Are you going to, you know, have unforeseen risks? Things happen, yes, but that happens anyway. So you may as well be reaching for the thing instead of just sitting there and buffering, right? The other alibi, the big one, and this is different from I don't have time, is it's just not the right time. I say this one gently because when I was a mama of young babies, so my kids right now, soon to be 16 in a couple of days, Adam and Alyssa is going to be 20. So I'm in a stage where I'm tasting empty nesting and it tastes really good. But when I was a mom of younger kids, this one was hard because there were some things I wanted to pursue and some dreams I had and some things that felt big and that required certain things from me that I didn't have the capacity to give, whether it was a lot of travel or whatever. And what I have to say is, and I coach women in their late 30s, early 40s who are in that transition zone, having young kids, but wanting to move further, that while you may not be able to go full throttle towards the thing that you want to go to, you can start building blocks. I will use myself as an example. I knew, so I worked for the federal government for many years, and I was at the top of that food chain, a GS-15, which if you know what the federal government is, that's like one of the highest grades you can have at a very young age, my early 30s. And most of my peers, if you will, were in their late 50s or 60s. And what that meant for me, if I didn't move, if I didn't have a plan, was, wow, I was going to have to spend the next 20, 30 years even in the same role. And that felt scary and gross and icky. And so I didn't have the flexibility of leaving that job because good benefits, childcare, like all of the things, right? That all of the good alibis. But what did I do? I started reaching for roles that would improve my leadership capacity to manage communities. So, you know, I was the president of an ARG employee resource group, which allowed me to have a board, which allowed me to flex my decision-making authority, which allowed me to be more visible in rooms, which allowed me to think through creative solutions for problems at the agency. I also started volunteering so that I could get a sense of what I loved. I knew for sure that I loved working with women and children. Children less so, because I don't have the patience to work with children one-on-one. But if I could help the parents, then by virtue of helping them, the kids would benefit from that, right? That was my thinking. And so I started to think about, how do I empower people? How can I do workshops? And so I started using my net time, which is your quote unquote free time, which you could have been using for something else, to build towards the dream that I hadn't yet envisioned. And so I say to you, if you feel stuck because you want to make a big leap and you're unable to make the big leap because it is really just not the right time, and this is the cleanest alibi of them all, right? Because it's impossible to argue with. And there's always going to be a reason for this one, whether it's the market, the economy, the kids, the job, the timing. It's up to you to do those incremental 2-millimeter shifts that get you closer to where you want to be. And there will always be something. And the reality is, there is no perfect time. There is only your decisions. And I say this with such emphasis that the journey of, you know, just a long distance starts with one step. And so what are those tiny little things that you can do? So big alibi, and this one, you know, I say this one because it hits close to home for me, but it also hits close to home for a lot of you, because a lot of you, like me, are in the sandwich generation. And us in the sandwich generation, we are in midlife. And I've said this before, midlife hits us right now at about 37, 38 through whatever. And it's real. We have families, we have teams, we have people who rely on us. And the sandwich generation is very specific. There's a rub and a tension here, because we ourselves are looking and smelling our later years, retirement. But we have younger kids because we waited longer to have them than our parents did. And then on the other side of that, we have aging and or ailing parents who have comorbidities, meaning more than one thing they're struggling with. So whether it's hypertension on top of diabetes, on top of obesity, whatever. And so these three tensions create financial stress and burden, create mental and spiritual stress and burden, create these responsibilities that really beat us down. Because guess what? We're also at a stage where we're probably at the height of our career, right? And there are people who rely on us. They're all the things. And so along the way, we've become the strong one, the dependable one, the one who handles everything. And that identity is our alibi. So how do we step into something new when everything depends on you? And I think that this is where that concept of boundaries comes in. And when I do my 3-month coaching, executive coaching with CEOs and founders and so forth, the container, that the phase that is the hardest for them, is the one around boundaries. Because boundaries seems like a harsh word. I think that in society, we think about having boundaries as being resistant or saying no or whatever we dress that up as. But I want to say that boundaries create parameters around what feels comfortable and right and healthy for you. And sometimes that means negating what somebody else wants or needs. And quite honestly, inconveniences them, right? And so how do you do that? Carefully, with some support, and honestly, by expanding your community, right? Whether you hire help to take care of your elderly parents, maybe somebody's checking in on you. I know my esthetician was trying to juggle a beautiful full-time career with high value and maintenance clients with a mother that was struggling and very resistant to having anybody in her house and all of those things. And she was burning herself out. And she spoke to a lot of people and eventually found a helper that came, I think just for that little window, where she was able to knock off work, go home, get herself together, prepare food, like just breathe. And so if your alibi is, I have too much responsibility, maybe it's time to look at different solutions for that and different perspectives, right? The other one that is huge is, I don't have the right connections. This is massive. And I want to say that this is one that I actually felt a lot when I left my corporate career. So if you didn't know my story, you know, highly successful, very young, you know, the American dream story, all of that good stuff, massive burnout, and culminated in emergency surgery, and I flatlined twice. So I literally died and came back. And after that, totally did a complete reinvention and all of those things. And I walked away from a high six-figure salary, a job people would, you know, work their whole lives for, to pursue my dreams and entrepreneurship. And, you know, that culminated in a whole different life these past, you know, 4 years that I could not have envisioned. And I say that to say, when I first jumped ship, not having the right connections felt like a big one for me, right? I don't know the right people. I don't have the access. I don't know who's in those rooms. And sometimes it's true, but sometimes the harder truth is access is rarely given to people who are waiting, but it's created by people who are moving. And so I would say that that is also trial and error. So I joined communities, chamber of commerces, like where I thought my people would hang out. And it culminated again and again. I learned something from every experience, but it culminated in me actually building my own community and going forward with that, right? But find your people and it's going to create trial and error. So what's actually beneath all of these alibis, right? It's not about logic, it's about protection. But protection from what? And these are the things that are sneaky, right? From failing, from being judged, from being seen differently, from losing control, from outgrowing your current identity. So that's what that's really about. It's about fear. When you boil it down, it's about fear of the unknown. And our brain will do any and everything to keep us safe. And so these stories are what keeps us safe. So what's the cost of that? This is the part that nobody really talks about, right? But the cost of your alibis is not just some delay towards your dream. It's the life that you are foregoing. It's a life. The opportunity cost is that opportunity you didn't take, the conversation you didn't have, the version of you that never comes to fruition. And the purpose, I think, of our life is to reach our highest potential. And so from the outside, while everything can look fine and you can be successful and functioning and showing up, and internally you know that something is not aligned and that you're postponing what you're capable of, that's the shift. That's the work. And so what do we do with all of this? This is all great news, Stacey. Have a good life. Well, I would say three things this week. I want you to do this week as you listen to this episode. Name one alibi from the ones that I gave you. What's the one thing you keep saying? I told you, for me, it's I don't have time, right? And say the truth underneath it. So the first one is identify which one of these is your safe space, your safe alibi, and then recognize the truth under it. So for me, I don't have time means I'm avoiding this, which means I'm not ready, which means I'm afraid. Afraid of what? Failure, being judged, all of the things I just talked about. So that level of honesty with ourselves reinforces integrity with ourselves, but it also changes something. When you confront it, when you shine a light on that stupid fear, it's like, well, fuck you. Don't need it, right? And then the third step is take one imperfect action. Don't have a plan or a strategy, just one move, just one thing. Remember I was telling you about those building blocks, or whether it's having a conversation, if I have too many responsibilities is your alibi, like just take one imperfect action, take one forward movement. And I will say in closing, you don't need to become a different person, but you need to stop believing the version of the story that's keeping you safe. You don't have to stop being strong, but you do have to stop hiding behind the reasons that keep you from moving forward. So this week, don't just fix everything, right? Just move, remove, identify one alibi and see what changes when you start that movement forward. And I hope this helped you as much as it helped me. And if you haven't had a reset like I did off in the countryside, maybe you need one too. Thanks so much, and I'll catch you next week.